Sometimes we put up roadblocks or we allow things to hinder the presence or the move of God in our lives. And so I want to talk to you from the Gospel of Luke. John the Baptist was a forerunner, and his mission was to prepare people who are ready for the Lord. How many are ready for the Lord? How many are ready for him to come back? Amen. How many want him to come back? You know, we need God in our nation. We need him in our community. And so I want to read from Luke chapter 3. And it says this: in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Etria and Trachonitis, and Licinius Tetrarch. Tetrarch just means he was like a governor or a mayor of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked road shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. You know that the end result of when God prepares a road, people will see the salvation of our God. For those of you that are not familiar with the story of John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was the one who was born to prepare the way for Jesus. And in the Bible days, before a king often traveled to a city or area, he would send out couriers who would prepare, who would announce that the king is coming. And that therefore we must prepare a way for him. And in Bible's days, you know, often they traveled by chariots. So whenever a king was coming to town, they had a responsibility to fix the ditches or fill up the low areas to move down or knock down the high places, to make the crooked places straight and the smooth areas, the rough areas smooth, so the king could come. But I believe that there's an analogy here. Just as there are roadblocks when we travel, how many know there can be sometimes roadblocks in our hearts that sometimes prevent God from his presence from flowing in and through our lives? And John identified four roadblocks that often sometimes become obstacles in our own lives. And so this morning I want to look at four roadblocks that God wants to address in our lives so that he can prepare a way in our hearts so that he can have, so his presence, or so that we can experience in his presence in a greater way. I've titled this series Preparing for His Presence. And I believe that as never before, we need to see more of the presence of God. You know, I was at a funeral on yesterday, and it was, many of you know, one of the grandson of one of our members. And the young man was 20 years old. And as I saw all of these young people there, my heart so went out to this generation. And I just began to utter a silent prayer. God, this generation needs to see a move of God. This generation needs to experience the presence of God. It's not just by word. How many know they need to have a touch from God? How many believe that this generation, you know, and listen, I believe that we can not only be a part of it, but we can prepare a way for God's presence. How many want to prepare a way so that this generation will have a move of God? Well, I want to talk to you and I how we can be a part of the conduit, the channel that God will use so that this generation will experience the presence of God. The first thing he talks about is he says that we must, every valley shall be filled. I want to, you know, we don't have any valleys much here, but we do have ditches and we do have potholes. You know, anybody ever drove to New Orleans lately? So help us, dear. I mean, I'm talking about, like the tow my car. I hadn't been in the city in a while. I said, my goodness. You know, and there's enough potholes on some of these streets, and if you're not careful, it will tear your car up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so I want to liken that to, when we look at our roads, if we're going to see the presence of God, we need to ask God to fill the spiritual potholes in our lives. You know, I was reading behind a pothole. You know what causes potholes? What happens is sometimes a crack in the road comes, and when the rain comes, it begins to erode the subsurface or the soil under the pavement. And as the soil erodes, all of a sudden, when the heavy weight of an automobile travels across it, then all of a sudden it begins to sink in. And sometimes it just starts out by just a little crack. How many of you know that? But if you don't address it, if you don't feel it, how many know before long it becomes a not just a crack, it becomes a ditch, you know. And if you don't deal, you know, it can become a sinkhole and lose your whole car in it, you know. But it speaks to you and I the vital importance that we don't neglect the daily spiritual maintenance of our lives. The reason why roads begin to develop potholes and all these things is because often it's a lack of maintenance. If you don't provide regular maintenance of roads, they will develop potholes. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. If we don't give constant attention to the spiritual aspects of our lives, then you know what? Over time, we can develop potholes, and if we don't address it, it can become ditches that can create accidents. Listen, Paul writing in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Listen, do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Listen, and be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. I didn't put verse 16, but I want to read verse 16. It says, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now let me just break down what Paul is talking about. Paul writing to young Timothy, talking about the importance of spiritual discipline. Listen, he telling Timothy, listen, give attention. Make sure you give yourself to the regular discipline of the reading of the Word of God. Look at somebody and say, you got to read the Word. I can tell you that when you and I begin to neglect filling ourselves with the Word of God, then I want you to know that something begins to erode in our lives. And if we're not careful, if you don't take time to have a daily devotion life with God, you're going to begin to find that as a result of spiritual neglect. Timothy said, the first thing he said, listen, devote yourself to the spiritual disciplines, the reading of the Word of God and prayer. Secondly, he says, and don't neglect the spiritual gift that's been given to you. I want to tell you, I'm going to speak to some of you here. Let me just tell you, you know why people begin to, what they call it, backsliding. You know what happens? When we no longer are stirring up the gifts of God, when we no longer using the gift, everybody in this room, God has given you a gift. Everybody in here, God has given you a purpose. Just like Julie shared, listen to me, we can sometimes draw back. And we can sometimes begin to stop using the gift that God has given you. But hear me carefully, that God has given every one of you a unique gift, a unique ability, and a unique talent. When you stop using what God has given you, I say it this way, you use it or lose it. Look at somebody and say, use it or lose it. Tell somebody else, say, use it or lose it. And I want to tell you the reason why that many people begin to regress in the things of God is because they stop using what God has given them. If God has given you something, I want you to know. The Bible says if it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then encourage. If it's giving, then it's giving. If it's helping, then helping. But everybody have a role to play. And one of the things that allows us to begin to develop potholes in our lives, and when we neglect the gift that was given to us. I want to ask you a question. Are you using the gift that God has given you? Because when we begin to draw back, there is no such thing as neutral in the kingdom of God. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You can't stay neutral. Can I have an amen? Now, I want you to know, and if you and I are going to grow, if we're going to experience the presence of God, if we're going to avoid having potholes in our lives, then we got to not neglect the gift that God has given. He goes on to say, therefore, he tells him lastly, not only not neglect the gift, but he told him to take heed to his life, because you don't realize that your neglect affects somebody else. Nobody backslide by themselves. Nobody walk away from God by themselves. Your life is impacting and affecting others. In other words, people are watching your life. Look at somebody and say, somebody's watching you. And I want you to know that you need to always be aware. Sometimes people say, well, it won't matter if I get away from God. Oh, it will matter. It will affect your children. It will affect your grandchildren. It will affect your coworkers. It will affect your friends. Let me just tell you, your life matters. Can I have an amen? And that's why we got to give attention. You can't neglect the spiritual disciplines in your life. You can't neglect the gift that God has given you, because your life matters. Nobody backslide alone. Paul said we don't live unto ourselves and we don't die unto ourselves. The reality is your life matters, and what you do affect others. That's why we got to give attention. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, listen to what it says. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. If we do not discipline ourselves to daily seek him, then I want you to know we're neglecting the Lord. Jesus reminded us, he says, that sometimes the seed is sown, but sometimes because of the cares of this life, the lure of wealth, it crowds out the word of God. And so we become unfruitful. I want you to know that if we're going to be a road so that the presence of God is going to flow in, then we're going to have to make sure that we deal with the potholes in our lives. Anybody beside me have any potholes we need to correct? Come on. Anybody got some areas that, God, I need to work on that? Don't let it become a ditch, you know. Don't let it become so big. You and I must address those things. If you've been neglecting using your gift, pick it up again. If you've been gotten away from that daily discipline, I want you to recommit that. Listen, sometimes we come to the end of the year, and we realize that often that we've neglected some things. We find ourselves in a ditch. We find ourselves in a valley. You don't have to live in the valley. How many know God has intended you? He wants to fill every valley. But I want you to know there's a part that you and I must play. And we got to deal with the potholes and allow God to fill every valley in our lives. The second thing he says, but we must level John the Baptist every mountain. John the Baptist said the valleys will be filled and the mountains and the hills made level. Mountains and hills always speaks of high places. Many of you know it's symbolic of the issue of pride in our lives. And I want you to know high-mindedness, arrogance, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. The Bible says in Philippians 2:3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. It goes on to say, look not on your own interests, but on the interests of others. You know, if you and I are going to avoid living a life, having mountains of pride in our lives, then we're going to have to make decisions to live a life of humility. One of the difficult roadblocks that prevent God's presence is the roadblock of pride. It's so subtle. Pride will cause you to be rude towards people. Pride will cause you to be self-reliant. Pride will cause you to fail to see your need for God. Pride will cause you to become unteachable. It's amazing. Listen to me. It is amazing. You know, when people come to church and say, well, I didn't get nothing out of it. Could it be that they've come to the place where they allow pride, where we no longer are teachable, we can no longer receive. Or I got to go somewhere else where because I'm not learning there. No, sometimes the problem is not what's being taught. Sometimes the problem is in us. And that's when we got to say, God, search my heart. God, try my thoughts. Because I want you to know, if we're not careful, then we can allow pride in our lives. And hear me, the longer you're saved, the more tempting it is to develop spiritual pride. I want to read an example that Jesus talked about in the Gospel of Luke, because this is what you need to understand. I believe that nothing will prevent the move of God in the presence of God is like spiritual pride. Of all the pride, spiritual pride is the worst. Spiritual pride is you thinking yourself higher than you really are. Spiritual pride is you lifting yourself up and looking down on others. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verses 10. He says, two men went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a despised tax collector. Now, you know, you got to understand, in the Bible's day, nobody was hated more like tax collectors, because they took advantage of their own people. The Jews were already under Roman occupation, who were brutal and cruel. And now they then hired they hired fellow Jews who would then collect taxes. And they not only collected taxes for the Romans, but they would always take more for themselves. And so the people hated tax collectors. And here Jesus used this person as an analogy. He was hated. Listen, two men went to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Listen to what Jesus said. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank God that I'm not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery. I certainly not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. But listen to what he said. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He dared not even lift up his eyes to heaven, and he prayed instead. He beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner. Listen to what Jesus said. I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt himself will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Spiritual pride is when we become critical of people and judgmental of people who may not do it like we do it. I want to use an example. We've really seen this. Many of you know Kanye West. He's a famous rapper and a singer who recently announced that he has given his life to Jesus Christ and been born again. And the thing that has really concerned me is that how many Christians who have overly been critical, judgmental, going out to discredit him, reminds me, you see, a religious spirit, a spirit of pride, won't recognize when God begin to move in people. Because I want you to know, God don't need your permission to save somebody. God don't need your permission. And the Bible said, Paul said, this is a true saying, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the chief. So who are we to stand and become critical and judgmental if God saves somebody? If that man said, listen, God saved him, listen, I believe we need to be discerning, but I believe we need to guard ourselves from being prideful and being judgmental and critical. Can I have an amen? And the reason why I say that is because, let me just tell you, nothing hinders God's work in a church than when we begin to be critical of people who not like us. When we become to be critical of people, because let me just tell you, this new generation, they're different from us. Completely different. Everything they do is different. And I want you to know, if they don't feel love and accepted, and we were talking, I met with all the millennials, and we saying we need to put a sign in the foyer. This is a no judgment zone. You enter in, this is a no judgment zone. That means, listen, because I've learned only God knows people's heart. Who am I to judge whether that person is sincere or real? And so I'm telling you, let me just tell you, I've learned in my 40 years as a Christian that God will often save people that we least think who can be saved. God will often move in people's lives that we sometimes think, well, who are they? Why should they say? It was just like that Pharisee. Look at this tax collector. Who he think he is coming to church? But that's the very one who God was moving in his life. And the Bible says the interesting thing is this. The tax collector went home. God heard his prayer, but God didn't even listen to the Pharisee. And I want you to know, when we become pride and we begin to think we've arrived and we begin to think we all that in a bag of chips, I want you to know, nothing will cause you to stop experiencing the move of God, and nothing will cause God to resist you, because the Bible says God resists the proud. And he give grace to the humble. It also is important because, let me just tell you, the Bible says that God uses the foolish things. And I want you to know that the longer you save, the more dignified you become. There was a time when you got saved, you didn't care who looked at you, who raised your hand. There was a time when you first got saved, you didn't mind rolling on the floor. You didn't mind crying. But you know, it is amazing, the longer we get saved, I begin to be conscious of who watching me. Here's another area. Do you know that I've seen sometimes the longer people get saved, they no longer want to respond to an altar call. They don't want nobody to know, man, I'm still dealing with it. Let me just ask an honest question. How many of you in here have arrived? Raise your hand. How many of you have arrived? How many of you in here have no sin? Raise your hand. One hand? No hand. How many of you, you've arrived? That means you already, you got it all together. See, this is a reminder to us that, listen, none of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. All of us still have issues we're working on. How many of you are still a work in progress? Raise your hand. Amen. And let me just tell you, we need to always be reminded that we're all still a work in progress. And when you remember that God didn't wait till you cleaned yourself up to save you. Some of you, he saved you in the club. Some of you, he saved you when you was in somebody's else's bed. Some of you, he saved you when your life was all messed up. How many of you glad that he didn't wait till you had it all together? Aren't you glad that God came to save us when we was messed up? And I want you to know that humility is remembering who you are before God. Apart from God, we're nothing but filthy rags. So we got to remember that, listen, if there's any good in me, it's only because of Jesus. Somebody ought to give God a shout right there. Come on, thank God for the grace of God. It's the grace of God. Listen, we're right, we're holy, not because of anything we do. It's his holiness, it's his righteousness. And so that way, you know what, when we remember that, it allows us to walk in humility. The third thing that he says is we must make straight the crooked places. In other words, we got to make the crooked places straight. Crooked, another word for crooked means to be perverted. It means to be twisted. It means to be dishonest or illegal. The reality is that all of us have some crookedness in us. You didn't like me to say that, but I'm going to say it again. I say all of us have some crookedness in us. All of us have some areas that God needs to straighten out. Can I have an amen? And the reality is, you know why? Because we are born in a crooked world. We're born, and so, like David said, I was born in iniquity, and from my mother's womb, I came forth in sin. I want you to know that when we get saved, The walk of a Christianity is allowing God to straighten out the crooked areas. See, the only thing, this word of God is the plumb line. It's the thing that we to measure our lives against. And I want you to know, does anybody here live it out perfectly? No. All of us have some areas. And so you know what? It's a reminder that God is still working in all of our areas. And so I want you to know that if you and I are going to experience the presence of God, listen to what Philippians 2:14 says this. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one criticizes you. Listen to what he said. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. I want to say this to you. Don't get angry when you see people who are not saved lingering. You can't help but be crooked when you until Jesus come in your life. The only one who can straighten you out is Jesus. So don't expect lost people to live straight. But guess what? Lost people should expect saved people to live straight. Oh, he got quiet. I'm going to say that again. We can't expect lost people to live straight. They don't have no power. They don't have nothing to make them straight. But when we come to Christ, the world should expect us to live straight. Can I have an amen? Because Jesus comes to make the crooked places straight. And so listen to what he says. He goes on to say in Philippians 4, he said, live clean and innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people, holding firmly to the word of life. I want to tell you that how do we stay living crooked, living straight in a crooked world is by daily and regular confession of sin. None of us have arrived, but here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we lie. Any liars in here? We lie, and the truth is not in it. But this is what he says. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Here's where we are as believers. It's not that we're perfect, but you know what? We're forgiven. And when we mess up, we know how to go to the person who know how to fix us up. We know how to go to the one who says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. That's why John said this, as I walk in the light, as he is in the light, I have fellowship with him, and his blood goes on cleansing me. I want you to know, the more I stay in relationship with Jesus, when I mess up, you know, all I have to do is confess it. He say, all right, son, get back in line. And he straightens us back up. He makes the crooked places straight. And I want you to know, the world is not looking for perfect people, but they are looking for people who are walking in the light as Jesus in the light. Can I have an amen? Nothing will hinder the presence of God, like holding on to dishonesty, holding on to deceit. D.L. Moody said it this way, God does not seek golden vessels. He does not look for silver ones, but he does need clean ones. And I want you to know, the way God has given us a remedy to live clean and holy lives is called the blood of Jesus. How many of you thank God for the blood? It's the blood of Jesus that empowers us to live straight in a crooked world. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. I want you to know, we've been called to live clean and straight lives in the midst of a crooked and a perverted world. The way we do it is by living in obedience to Jesus, by regularly confessing sin. And lastly, as I close, if we're going to clean the roadblocks, we must make the rough places smooth. Rough roads. If you drive to Baton Rouge now, you know they're doing all that road construction. Some areas the road is pretty rough. But Jesus said, in order for people to see the presence of God, we got to deal with the rough areas in our lives. Rough areas often, listen, I wrote this down. One of the primary ways we manifest roughness or harshness is through our speech and how we handle others. Anybody beside me still needs some work? I'm telling you, this is what Jesus said in Ephesians 4:31. This is what it says in the Word. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and be kind. Say, be kind. Come on, say that again. Look at somebody and say, come on, tell somebody else, say, the world is looking for examples of, we are, you know, you look at our world is not always a smooth, it's a rough place. Our society is a rough place. There's such hostility in our culture, such divisiveness. And what would happen if we choose to just start being kind towards one another? What would happen if we start just being, listen what he goes on to say, but be kind and compassionate towards one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm so grateful that I've received of his forgiveness. How many have been forgiven by the Lord? Amen. How many? So listen, because you've been forgiven by the Lord, God now requires you and I to forgive others. He requires us to be kind. He requires us to be compassionate. I want you to know, the presence of God flow. It won't flow through a rough road. It won't flow through harshness and anger and mean spirit. It's going to flow. Nothing, listen to me, nothing will quench the presence of God like anger, harshness, rage. I've been guilty of it. I've been guilty. I've been guilty sometimes in how I've spoken to my wife. I've been guilty of it sometimes in how I've spoken to my children. I've been guilty of it sometimes how I've spoken to another believer. There's been times where I've sensed clearly I've quenched the Holy Spirit, his presence, by being harsh, by being unkind. Is that those times where I say, oh God, forgive me. God, come make these rough areas smooth. God, come make these crooked areas straight. God, come pull down these high places in my life and make them level. God, come fill the ditches and the potholes in my life so that, Lord, your presence might flow. And this morning as I close, I just sense, you know, our world wants to see. Listen to what he says. He closes and says, and all mankind will see God's salvation. People want to see something. I say, they want to see the presence of God. Oh, there's nothing like it. Oh, let me just tell you, people want to see his face. They want to see his presence. But if they're going to see his presence in our lives, then we got to deal with the potholes. We got to deal with the mountains. We got to deal with the crooked places. And we got to say, God, come make the rough places smooth. If this word was for you this morning and you're hearing, I just believe that it wasn't just for me this morning. You know the amazing thing, when I prepare, God first deals with me. You know what? I want to say this. The first day I was meditating on potholes, and I recognized that it says they come from spiritual neglect. Just like holes and roads come because they fail to maintain them, sometimes we can get so busy that we fail to maintain our spiritual lives and we allow spiritual potholes. We stop using our gifts and we allow ditches in our lives. But today God wants to fill every ditch. He wants to fill every hole. He wants to bring down pride. If you've allowed pride and you've been critical and you've been judgmental, nothing will hinder people from coming to the Lord and seeing God's presence in your life than when we allow spiritual pride. You haven't arrived and I haven't arrived. So we got to walk humbly. He's shown you, man, what is good, what the Lord requires of you. And that is to do justly and to walk humbly before our God. We got to stay low. And the longer we in the Lord, the more we must work at. God, help me to stay humble. Help me to stay low. If that word was for you in any way this morning, I want to pray for you. You say, Pastor, that was for me. I'm dealing with some potholes in my life. Come on, God, I need you to feel that. If that's for you, just reach over here. If there's any of you say, God, listen, there's some mountains that need to be brought down. I need you to do it today, God. Some of you say, Lord, I got some crooked areas. God, I need you to make them straight. Come on, God. Come on. God don't deal with crooked. He deal with the straight. And if we got some crooked areas, he wants to make straight. And some of you have some rough areas in your life. You say, God, today I need you to make those rough areas smooth. If that's you today, I want you to stand on your feet. Come on, ask God, because he won't force you. Listen to it. He won't force you. But if you say, God, I want you to make my road smooth. I want more of the presence of God. I want it, God. If you want it, I want more of his presence. There's a generation that needs to see the presence of God. But he's going to do it through us. Let me just say, God flows through us. He has chosen to work through us. And if we're the people that God work through, then we got to say, God, prepare my heart. Remove every roadblock. Remove everything in my life today, God, that hinders you from flowing. I appreciate you just acknowledging that's me. Come on, that's me, that's me, that's me. God, come on. Lord, as we prepare to celebrate the greatest event in the history of the world, that God, you came that we might have life. God, you so loved the world, you gave the greatest gift. You gave the Son. Lord, the world is still looking for him. They're still seeking him. God, and the only Jesus that some people will ever see is the Jesus is in us. So God, help us to move out any roadblocks that prevent people from seeing the salvation of our God. Lord, start in us today. So Lord, I pray for everyone who's standing. You know every person who came. You know the needs in their life. Lord, I pray for those who acknowledge today, God, that there's potholes in my life. Lord, because maybe you've neglected the maintenance of the spiritual maintenance of your life. Sometimes we get so busy and we neglect doing the things, and so our lives erode slowly. I know I'm speaking to some of you today. Listen to me. I just sense this from the Lord. Listen, before as many of you stand, backslide, I just need to do this because God told me he's going to draw the backsliders. Some of you, you don't backfall, but you slowly drift and drift because of not engaging, because of neglecting your walk with God. And one day you wake up and you find yourself and you're strayed away from the Lord. And if you're here today and you acknowledge that you're strayed away from the Lord, but today God is drawing you back, would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody here? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Any other young man, lady? What? I see that hand, sir. I see that hand. Any others? That's you. Listen, God won't deal with you if you're pride. But if you'll admit, God, that's me. That's me. He work with you. Amen. Would you come up here? I want to pray. Would you come, ma'am? Would you come? Would you come? Come on, let's thank God for what he's going to do. Yeah. Come. Would you come, sir? Would you come? Come on, sir. Come on. Don't pat it. Come on. Let's pray. Come on. Amen. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Come on. Come on. Thank you. Oh, I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. I like some of my altar workers. Would you come and stand behind some of these and help me pray? Slim, I've been praying for you all week long. I have. You know, Slim, God loves you, and he saved you. He delivered your life. He's done so much in you. And you know, sometimes we can neglect what he's done. But God is drawing you back, Slim. He's telling you to pick back up. Start stirring up the gift that he's placed in your life. Start allowing God to use that. Young lady, I want you to know that God, He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Brother Burrell, I'm so grateful that God has drawn you here. He's drawing you. Listen, the Bible said no one can come to the Lord unless the Spirit draw them. Young lady, I don't know your name, but I sense that God's hand was on your life. When you came into this church this morning, I sense that God was drawing you by His Spirit. God, I thank you for what you're doing in their lives. God, I thank you for this family today, Lord. God, I thank you for their lives. God, I thank you. The Lord just wants you to know He loves you. Oh, He wants you to know how much He loves you. You know, sometimes we lose sight. He's not here to condemn you. He's here because He loves you.